Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, I am so excited for today's episode and the series that this is kicking off this month on the podcast. More on that in just a moment. First, I want to pause and just say thank you again for all of you who have left ratings and reviews on this podcast wherever you listen. Each month, I try to remember to share one. And if you hear me share your review, then you get to reach out to me and I send you a Starbucks card as a thank you. So today I'm going to share a recent review from Mama Roller. She gave the podcast 5 stars, titled it Love This Podcast. And here's what she wrote. I've been following Monica and the Swanson family since 2019 when I read Boy Mom as a struggling mom with a newly adopted son. Super helpful and profoundly shaped my parenting. Loved reading Raising Amazing as well. This podcast is a gem. I love hearing from all her guests, including her sons. My son, now almost 12, really relates to Luke because of his experience as a Christian athlete. Would love to listen to a podcast from Luke if he ever thinks about starting one. Well, Mama Roller, first of all, thank you so much for that kind review. Please reach out to me and I would love to send you a Starbucks card. And I have good news for you and your son. Luke is working on starting his own podcast. That's right. As we record, it is in the works. So God willing, soon we will have fun news for you. I'll be sure to announce it here on my podcast, but I think he would do so great. So I'm really excited about that. For the rest of you, if you haven't left a rating or review yet, please know they mean the world to us podcasters. They really do help. However that algorithm works, they help get the word out to more people that this podcast is one that people should check out. So please just scroll down on your podcast app, look for those 5 stars. You can tap on them, or you could take just a moment to leave a few words about what you love most about the podcast. And if I share yours on the air, then you hear me. I then love to thank you with a Starbucks card. All right. Today, we are kicking off a series that I've been looking forward to for so many months. I don't even remember when I thought this up, but I decided that this month we're going to dive in and talk about something different here on the podcast, and that is women's wellness. We're going to cover a range of topics from body image to health and fitness to hormones. I'm going to share some of my story. I think it's going to be a great month. And many of you know this is a big part of my background. I studied sports medicine. I have always been very active and loved health and fitness topics. My husband's a doctor. We're an active family. But really, this is a girlfriend chat today and all month long. It's us ladies talking about women's wellness. And I need to hear back from you because I want to know if you like this. Part of the reason I changed my podcast from the Boy Mom Podcast to Monica Swanson was simply because I wanted freedom to really dive into the topics that I'm most passionate about. And yes, I love talking about families and parenting and faith, but I also am super passionate about women's wellness. And there's a strong faith element there as well. But getting real specific about the things on our minds in all the seasons of womanhood. So hooray for this. If you have friends who you think would enjoy this conversation, this month, this series, please spread the word about the podcast. That would be such a blessing. Now we're kicking this series off with an interview I actually recorded last spring. And I loved it so much, but I was saving it for just the right time. And I actually can't believe I was able to hold off so long because this is one of my favorite conversations. I'm talking with Janine Amapola. And Janine is a young woman. She is a powerful influencer impacting so many lives in the world today. I really enjoyed her book called Becoming Happy and Healthy, subtitled Real Life Advice on Friendship, Dating, Career, and Everything Else You Care About. And originally, I wanted to do a series that was targeting moms raising girls. And I know some of you are like, yes, please do that. And I still would love to share more episodes for you girl moms out there. But I realized that this episode is actually for us women too. I think that Janine is wise beyond her years, and she has such wisdom and practical advice to share. But especially if you've got daughters that you want to grow up to be healthy and happy and to skip some of the bad choices and pursue God and pursue a healthy lifestyle, Janine is a role model I'm going to point you to. And I think she's incredibly well-spoken. And at the end of this interview, she gets a chance to speak directly to the young ladies out there. So I'm going to encourage you to first listen on your own. There is a little bit of mature subject matter that we cover. But then I'm going to encourage you to grab your girls and let them listen in there at the end, as she's going to give some really sound advice that could really be a game changer for your kids and the decisions they're making. So I can't wait to share this with you. I'll have a few final words to say at the end, but without further ado, here's Janine Amapola and I talking about the true path to becoming happy and healthy. Well, aloha, Janine. Welcome to the podcast.
Aloha. Wow, what a nice greeting. I need to hear that more often right? In Texas.
Right? Well, I am just coming back from my trip. My listeners know I went to Augusta, Georgia for a golf thing for my youngest son, but we spent 2 days in Dallas on our way over there. Oh. So I've been thinking of you because you live in Dallas, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, it's very rainy here, pretty gloomy. Oh. So I'm like, give us back the sunshine. But yeah, I like it here.
You know, last week it was beautiful. The one day I was there, I went to the Dallas Arboretum. Ooh, and it was like, yes, beautiful flowers and so many good things. And I love the word y'all. Like, there's nothing like y'all. Yeah. I say aloha, but I'm like, everyone in the world should say y'all, because there's no other word that really just says it like that.
I mean, I agree. It's like, I don't want to say right? You all or you people or you. Right. It's like y'all just summarizes everybody. It's great.
100%. Okay, so you're in Dallas, but you've spent a few years in Southern California, which I told you I did too in college. And I have two sons who are in Santa Barbara. One graduated from Westmont. The other one is about to graduate as we record. So you and I have some overlaps there. And I just can't wait to share a little bit more about you and your story with my listeners. But before we jump in, why don't you give a quick introduction to who you
are? Absolutely. Well, thank you again, Monica, for having me on. My name is Janine Amapola, now Ward. I got married 5 months ago. So I'm a newlywed, which is just the best season. It's so, so fun. I'm a podcast host. I'm an author, a speaker, and I've been doing content creation for about 12 years, maybe a little more than that. And so I do it all, but really my verticals are faith, fashion, lifestyle. Definitely a big emphasis on faith. That's my podcast, is a big faith podcast. And then my Instagram and TikTok is where I have a little bit more fun. And really my heart is just for young women to help them thrive, succeed, and know who they are in Christ.
There we go. I love it. And anyone who's listening knows that I am really passionate about mentors, about the influences in our kids' lives. And so though I know I have some young singles who listen to the podcast, I always love that when they tell me, they're like, I'm just trying to prepare for my future. Yeah. And I'm like, way to go. That is so wise. But probably the majority of my listeners are moms raising up kids. Maybe they've got kids who are, you know, middle school, high school, and you are someone who would be the role model we all want for our daughters. And so I can't wait to talk to you kind of from that perspective, knowing that you're out there really trying to cheer on the next generation. Mm-hmm. Now, when you wrote your book that we're going to talk about today, Becoming Happy and Healthy, Real Life Advice on Friendship, Dating, Career, and Everything Else You Care About. Love that.
Thank you.
You were single at the time. And since it's come out, you got married, you said 5 months ago. So that's kind of fun. So it was interesting to read the book from the perspective of someone in your then later 20s that was still single and kind of going through that stage of life. Why don't you give us a quick walkthrough, you know, what was going on in your life and what led you to writing this book? And then I want to dive in with some practical questions that I know will help all the moms.
I love practical. That's what the book is about. So that's so funny you say that. I started the book when I was, it's actually funny. I started the book, I signed with my publisher when I was dating someone else. And that person was kind of like, I don't know if this is the time to write a book. And I felt very much so, this is the time to write a book. And that relationship ended, which is great. It was fine. And then I was single. And so I wrote the book and was just really going through the emotions of cheering on my friends that were getting the thing that I wanted. You know, I was 28 and a half and just gone through another heartbreak. And I talk about that in the book. And then I met my now husband midway through already writing the book. So I was already in the thick of it and met him through that. And I was like, hey, just so you know, if you are going to be along for this ride, you've got to know that there's going to be some late nights of me writing this book and you've got to hang out with me because I don't have time. I'm so sorry. And he has been so, so amazing and supportive. But really the perspective of the book is starting from when I was around that 25-year-old age, 24, 25, when I had a very pivotal moment in my life. I grew up Christian, lived a very lukewarm life in college, post-college, even moving to California. I had no idea that the Lord was going to use California to absolutely wreck me in the best way possible. I'm so glad he did because at that time I was living a life of secrecy. None of my family and friends really knew what was going on in my heart and my mind, my thought life, struggles I was having, just desperately seeking affirmation from men, going to the bars, making poor choices, wanting to find all my validation and worth and social media and numbers and followers and all the things. And so it's kind of the classic story of just looking for life and joy in all the wrong places. And Jesus was literally there the entire time, just like, hey, like literally the entire time, just tapping my shoulder, tapping my shoulder. I'm like, no. There's just no way. Like in my mind, I talk about this at the very end of my book. I'm like, there's just no way that God is the solution. Like that's just too, it just feels too easy. It feels too simple. And it was always the story my parents had told me, like Jesus is going to be your true satisfaction. I didn't want to believe it. And so I went and tasted the world and turns out it was very empty and fleeting. I mean, surprise. And I came back to my faith through a mentor, through a counselor and a Bible study leader in California that just called me out, called me bluff. She said, you're a full-fledged hypocrite. And oh my gosh, it hurts so much. Wow. Yeah, right?
Yeah. God bless her for speaking truth, right? When you needed it.
Truth can be so painful, but it's so necessary. And I was ready to hear that truth. And so there's more to the story, but essentially I committed to being honest and vulnerable and being consistent in the word. I read the Bible, had a lot of accountability partners, all these girls in my Bible study. And I left a lot of friends in the past. And I said, no more. I'm running a different race here with different people. And it changed my life. And so the book really is my storyline of that and helping other people find freedom in all the areas they're struggling in. And it's not just spiritually. I also wanted to give people practical tips on wellness and habits and routine and food and fitness and health, sleep. And so I do believe that God has advice for that. And so I give that in the book and I make it very practical, authentic, and biblical. So that's the book.
That's right. Yeah. And I was just telling you, I got to read pretty much the whole book on the airplane and just every chapter, I was like, okay, that's advice I'd give. That's advice I'd give. But what's awesome is girls are going to listen more coming from you than from someone their mom's age, right? So we just like collectively, I just want to tell you for the people listening, we are all like just applauding you and thanking you. I was thinking this morning, like we want to just like pay you people, the few of you, there aren't too many of you, but I'm like, we want to do what we can to say, please keep doing this. I was like, okay, we can pay her. We can buy her book. So everyone, there'll be a link to the book in the show notes. Be sure to buy it for your daughters, for your friends, read it yourself, because a lot of the advice then you can pass on to others as well. And you do such a great job of covering all these topics, really practically. And again, sharing your own story. I heard a pastor once say, and it just stuck with me, that we can either learn lessons the hard way by making mistakes and having regret and having to learn from them, or we can learn from somebody else who's made those mistakes. And so I love that you're willing to share some of the hard stuff, the not pretty stuff from your life, so that hopefully young ladies and young men as well might learn and not make those mistakes, right?
Absolutely. That truly is the heart behind my book. I wrote in the introduction that I wrote the book that I needed when I was younger, because this book didn't exist. And I really wish I had a manual. And even though we do have the Bible, as a 20-year-old, I didn't understand the Bible, nor was I interested. You know, I opened it and I was like, I don't know what any of this means. Slams the book shut. And so it's really, I really thought about the younger girls, the women out there, even the men as well. I didn't put girlfriend or girl in the book specifically because I want guys to know that they're welcome to read it too. Because I really wanted to give people a manual to go back to when they're like, okay, how do I make decisions again? What are the things I should tell myself when I'm struggling with my body image? You know, how do I make a habit again? Like going back to the book again and revisiting that.
Yeah. And I love the way it's done with like the call out boxes with like little bullet points of these are some habits you might want to incorporate into your life. These are some books to read. I mean, you have some really great, helpful resources all throughout the book.
Thank you. So, I appreciate well that. Done. Thank you.
Totally. Yeah. And I'll have my young adult sons read this as well. I thought you gave great dating advice. We've had JP Pakluta on before on the podcast. And I know you're friends of his. Well, I thought just to get us going that I might have you camp out a little bit on what you call the three things that will transform your life. These are, you know, at a glance, you might say, yeah, these are obvious, but I think young adults need these so much. So the three things you name are habits, community, and the word of God. So talk to us about habits.
Yes. I mean, I really do believe that habits have the power to transform your life and your day. And so habits can bleed into truly anything, good habits and bad habits. And so I think when people hear habits, they're like, oh, it's only a positive change. And there's so many bad things that we're doing too, that I think also we need to replace with good habits. And so I'm very big on that because I think it has the power to really transform you mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally if you implement habits in your routines. And so I do have an entire chapter on habits to where I give you tips on how to do it, how to make them last. And I think a lot of people, they think habits mean, okay, I need to think of 10 things in my life. I need to get rid of all of them, start over from scratch, and just think of 10 better ones to replace with it. And I'm like, okay, whoa, whoa, whoa. That sounds so amazing. And I'm definitely here to say, I love the thought, but practically what you want to do is start with one and make it something that you can do consistently daily. It could be so small. Maybe you don't drink any water right now. The number one thing you can do is start with this. Okay, I'm going to get a water bottle that I like. I'm going to fill it up. I'm going to carry it with me. I'm going to drink more water, because the more you say something, the more likely you're going to do it, or the less you see it, the less likely you're going to do it. And so it's kind of adding and subtracting things from your life to help you. And so honestly, that could go with anything, even alcohol, removing people, certain things in your life, or people that are contributing to bad habits in your life. And so habits are very, very important, and I'm very big on them. And I really think that they kind of like a building block to your life that I think we shall try to master. Next, I would say is community, because I found in my life that people have the power to really uplift you and bless you and change your life for the better, or to discourage you, to demolish you, and to bring you down. And so you got to choose which one do I want? Do I want to be around people that encourage me, that aren't encouraging gossip? They're uplifting me. I can be vulnerable. I can be honest with them, and they can challenge me. Or do I want to be around people that make me feel small, that belittle me, that continually contribute to the bad decisions that I don't want to do anymore? And so this goes for any time period of our life. I think a lot of people maybe might be more confused in college or high school, but this goes for any time period of your life. It's something we want to master. And the Bible is so clear about that, you know, how he says, bad company corrupts good morals, or even woe to the man that falls, pity the man that falls and has no one to pick him up. Two are better than one. It is not good for man to be alone. I mean, you name it, the Bible is so big on community and people. And so I wanted people to understand in my book that your friends really should make you look more like Christ. And I think the problem is a lot of people are like, well, where do I find these friends? I'm struggling. And so you got to look at your environment and say, okay, is there one person? Because I'd rather you have one deep friendship than 20 shallow, flaky ones. So is there one person I can call up? I can say, hey, can I be vulnerable with you? Can I be honest with you? Will you pray for me? I'm struggling. I need a friend right now. Can we go for a walk? I'd rather you have that, an encouraging friend that does life with you, than 20 flaky people you see occasionally that don't really know you. And so I'm very big on this because community changed my life. It really did. It's no wonder why I kept making bad decisions, because I was around people that were celebrating that. They didn't see anything wrong with that. And so I wanted to go with people that were actually like sickened by sin, that were like, oh, we don't want that. I want to be closer to holiness and to godliness than encouraging debauchery, which is what I was living in. And then I think the last one, of course, I mean, this is the foundation for everything. It's why I started the opening chapter with faith, because faith is the foundation for everything. But I think what's difficult is if we don't know what is faith, what does faith look like? What does God's voice sound like? We're not going to even know where to begin. And to where you can begin is the Bible. And so that again was a daily discipline and a habit I began to incorporate in my morning routine. I didn't say I'm going to read an entire book in a week. I said, you know, I'm going to start with a verse a day. And then eventually led up to a chapter a day. And next thing I knew, I was thriving. I was like, this book is so good. It transformed my life. I mean, literally Proverbs in the book of John. I was like, wow. I just began to encounter Jesus and learn the ways that I was doing everything wrong. And so the Bible has the power to transform your life. It's alive and active. It's going to call you higher. It's going to help you reveal some weaknesses and darkness in your life. And I encourage everybody to make that a part of their morning routine or night routine or whatever works for you.
So good. So solid. And connecting that with community, to be studying it in community. I know you talk about that, doing Bible studies, things where you're looking at the Word of God with other people, surrounding yourself with people who are going to encourage that. Well, that leads us to another question I wanted to ask you. I know on your podcast, I've heard you talk about friendship. Friendship can be so tricky. And I think probably it's very different between boys and girls, how friendship plays out. But can you talk to us about helping our girls, maybe in their teenage years, as they prepare to launch and have some independence? How can we coach them in choosing good friends?
Oh, such a good question. So I think first and foremost, what you want to do is ask yourself, am I a good friend? And am I the friend that I'm also desiring? Because it's unrealistic for us to expect someone to be something that we're not. And so I think working on yourself and also knowing what is a good friend and looking how Jesus did friendship, you know, he was so kind and tender and showed up for his people. He wept when they wept. He celebrated when they celebrated. He was there. He intruded on their house, walked in. He's like, let's have lunch, you know? And so I think it's also, I know for younger listeners, maybe they don't, you know, they're not well equipped with the Bible, but I do give a practical list in my book of what does it look like to be a good friend? So some of them are trustworthy, reliable, honest, encouraging, godly. Those are some of them. So maybe reflecting on yourself and saying, okay, am I that? And then when you're going to look for a friend, looking for somebody that has those same qualities. And if they don't, you know, hopefully being a good friend, we're called to refine and challenge our friends and say, hey, you know, I notice you speak negatively about yourself all the time. You know, I want to encourage you in that. Or I notice that you gossip a lot. Hey, how about let's be friends that don't gossip a lot? Hey, I noticed that you can fill in the blank where you can refine those friends. But sometimes it's important to just take a step back and look at your friendships and say, okay, are these friendships genuinely making me better? Do they give me life? When I leave, do I feel refreshed, encouraged? Do I feel championed? Do I feel like I'm ready to take on the world? Or do I leave feeling depleted, exhausted, insecure? Do I feel belittled? Like, you really want to take an audit of how these friends make you feel. Did they bring you closer to Jesus, or did they make you compromise? And that's super important, is you don't want a friend that's going to continually encourage and glorify sin and not truly help you look more like Christ. And so for any girl listening, that could be a young adults ministry, a Christian sorority, Young Life. I mean, there's so many amazing resources out there, so I don't want anybody to forsake those, but the church is meant to bring us community, and I hope we don't forsake that power of it.
Oh, amen. And I think this applies as much for any age and stage of womanhood.
And I think sometimes even you live in a friendship long enough and you're not even questioning it. But if you pull back and go, wait, how does this make me feel when I walk away? That's pretty important. And so love that. Really good. And better to learn it young and then carry that with you as you grow up and make more friendship decisions. To all of my homeschooling friends and those of you who are becoming homeschoolers, I'm excited to tell you about the math and science curriculum that all of my boys have used and loved. Head over to diveintomath.com to check out Shorman Math and Dive Science curriculums. Dr. Shorman is a good friend of ours, and he does such a great job of offering a biblical and historical foundation in all of his classes, teaching the why of learning math. He brings biblical concepts into everything, and my boys have been inspired by Dr. Shorman on so many levels. Now, the diveintomath.com website offers self-paced courses in state-of-the-art e-learning system featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading and grade recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman himself. Also, important to note, Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Guys, this is what your kids need to prepare for all of these standardized tests. Okay, so my boys love that Dr. Shorman taught short lessons and it was a four-day school week, and yet he packed in so much. They learned a ton and it was efficient so they could get on with doing all the other fun stuff they want to do. All right, so head over to diveintomath.com. Check out the math and science curriculums offered there. I think you're going to love them.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, another topic I so appreciate that you cover in here, and you already alluded to it a little bit, but you talk about secrets. Mm-hmm. And I just think this is a topic that we don't bring up enough in the church, in our Christian communities. And yet the Bible has a lot to say about secrets and about the importance of exposing secrets, of getting things out there in the light. Can you share a little bit about your journey and what it took for you to go from keeping things secret to talking to people about it, and especially to the Lord?
Absolutely. So there's a saying that says you are only as free as your secrets, and the power of sin is in secrecy. Because in secrecy, you know, sin manifests and it just rules your life, and it causes you to pull away from people and make worse decisions and to sit into shame and to sit in isolation. And that's giving the enemy a field day. Like, truly, he loves when you keep your mouth shut. He loves when you are like, nope, nobody can know. It's just me. This is so embarrassing. I'm so ashamed of myself. And so in my own story, I opened up about that, where I was exposed to pornography at a very young age. And it was not self-induced. It was something I accidentally saw. And from there, the enemy used that as a foothold in my life. And so for 4 or 5 years, I was continually just living in shame and guilt. And it was just so weighty on me. I mean, you can literally feel it. Like, if someone mentions something or someone looks into your eyes, you immediately, like, you want to look away and you're like, oh my gosh, do they know? And it causes you, just like it did to Adam and Eve, to want to hide and to cover up and to get in shame and to run away and to lie. I mean, it really does create a false image of yourself to people. And so the goal here is for you to be honest with yourself. Like, I had to get super honest with myself and say, I am so sick and tired of living in this sin. I'm so sick and tired of the way it makes me feel. I'm embarrassed. I'm in shame. I hate that I'm doing this thing in secrecy. And so when you're ready to finally be free, because you've got to want it, like, no one can do it for you. You've got to want it. You've got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was. And I remember at this church camp, the pastor said, hey, if there's someone here that is struggling with a secret sin or something they've been holding on for far too long, I want you to come forward. And I start sweating. I'm like, oh my gosh, he knows me. He knows what I did. And I'm like looking around the room. I'm sweating. My heart is just thumping. And I was just like, you know what? What am I doing? I'm sick of carrying this. I just bolted to the front. I ran down to the pulpit and I'm just sobbing. I mean, snot bubbles falling on my face. And I confessed it for the first time to someone in like 4 or 5 years. And I just admitted it. I was like, I'm struggling with this addiction to pornography. And I got exposed to it. I mean, and she prayed over me. And the Bible says in James 5:16 to therefore confess your sins to one another. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So not only did I pray for her, I mean, sorry, confess to her, which God calls us to do, she prayed for me and freedom followed that. I never looked at it again. I was literally set free from that day. And so that is my encouragement to anyone listening, that sin kills you. It decays your spirit. It decays you. It literally causes you to want to isolate and pull away. And that was never God's intention. And so I don't want anyone to sit in shame any longer and know that God loves you. You're not too far gone. Everything is redeemable. Everything is forgivable, but you've got to forgive yourself and be honest with yourself and say, okay, you know what? I'm struggling with this. Confess it, have someone pray for you, and continue to walk in accountability and vulnerability. Because just because you confess it once doesn't mean you're done. Like it can come back. And so be committed to continual confession and accountability to stay free. Mm-hmm. And so I know there's many people carrying weights and chains on their back, and this is your sign, and maybe your heart's racing to let it go. Mm-hmm. Talk to the person that is the scariest to talk to. That's usually the person you need to talk to the most. Confess it and watch what happens.
So good. And you talk in the book about some of the things that make us hesitate to bring it out there, to expose it. Why don't you just address a couple of those in case anyone listening can relate to those things?
Yeah, there's a couple. Like one, it's not hurting me, so why does it matter? Number two, well, everyone else is doing it, so why can't I? Three, if anyone knew that I was doing this, they would hate me. Or four, you've convinced yourself, you know, I'm not ready to give this up. Like I still enjoy this. Like I still like this. And I don't blame you. You know, sin can be fun until it's not, you know, until it starts to rob you and you're compromising. And so there's some lies that continually keep us enslaved that I want you to confess to somebody. Maybe say, hey, I'm not ready to give this up, but this is what I'm thinking. And have someone process that with you to help you debunk that lie.
Oh, that's so good. And just like we already touched on, how great that there's somebody out there that might hear that, that doesn't feel ready, but they might learn from you. Don't wait until the day that you actually feel like this is your sign right now. If you're hearing it, this is your sign. And if we can shift it, since we are talking to a lot of parents, can you, from your perspective, your experience growing up in a Christian home, all you've been through, what if there's a mom out there that just has a heart for her son or daughter? They sense that there might be a secret. Maybe they can just see shame in their kids' eyes. Mm-hmm. I know I've been in that place with my boys where it's just like there's something off. Do you have any advice for the moms? How can they make that connection? How can they open up this conversation?
Yeah, it's really something that I wish my parents did. And so I don't blame my parents. But if there's moms listening, it's you want to do it now before it's too late. And even if your kid has made the mistake, I think just providing that safe, non-judgmental space for them to be able to come to you and they could say anything. And if they said anything, you wouldn't flinch. You would hug them. You would wrap your arms around them and you'd say, okay, we're going to get through this together. I've got your back. I love you. God has more for you. But I think it's kind of doing those check-ins with your kid of just, hey, you know, I want you to know that if you need anything, if you want to talk about anything, I love you so much. You know that if you told me anything that I would still love you. I'm not going to judge you. This is a safe space. Like giving your kid that comfort, because I think my family, we never had an environment where we could do that. Everything felt really secretive. And it wasn't like my parents intentionally did that. They just never said to me, hey, if you're going through anything, please talk to me. So I think even just saying that to your kids, letting them know, I want to talk to you. I care more than you do. Letting them know that, I think is really, really going to help them feel safe to want to open up to you.
That's huge. I love that. Cause I do think a lot of parents might think, well, my kid knows I'm there for them. They know I love them, but communicating that really clearly just opens up that door. Yeah. I really appreciate that. Oh, goodness. You're going to be ready to be a mom. You got this.
We'll see. I mean, again, I'm only married 5 months, but I'm like, I'm starting to get baby fever. I saw these cute little toddlers on TikTok and I'm like, oh, I think I'm ready.
Totally. You're gonna be great when that day comes.
Thank you.
But you're keeping busy in the meantime. Okay, so to kind of circle to a fun topic I love to talk about in parenting before we wrap up, you talk about adventure. And, you know, if anyone has read my books or listened to me talk about adventure, I just am such a believer that kids need healthy adventure. That, you know, my son graduated from college, did the backpacking through Europe thing. And I love that because I think that if we don't give our kids healthy adventure, then they're going to go seeking adventure in unhealthy places. Mm. And we know all the things that looks like in the early years growing up. Kids need to experience some things that make their, you know, make them shake a little bit, that are scary, new, exciting, require courage. So talk to us about your love for adventure and how parents might encourage that in kids, especially the kids who might not love adventure yet, but need to be exposed to it.
I love that. That's such a good question. It's actually one of my most favorite chapters in the book because I'm so passionate about it. And it is just truly transform my life, just saying yes and being willing to be uncomfortable, try new things, being a little scared, going to somewhere unknown and being like, you know what? I don't know. It's the buildup and the adventure and the mystery of like, I don't know what I'm going to discover when I'm there, but I know I'm going to discover something. And so thankfully that is something my parents instilled in us. Is my parents are both immigrants. And so they love to travel. My dad has such a love for nature. And so all growing up in my life, my parents led by example. And that's what parents do. They lead by example and your kids will start to just take things on whether you like it or not by your actions and by the things that you do. And so all growing up, every single year, we did multiple road trips. We would get a little cabin in the woods and we would just camp and have adventures and explore. And it really created this craving in me for adventure. And so as I got older and I started to make my own money, I was like, okay, I can start buying some plane tickets by myself. And so I share this crazy story of my friend being like, yo, I'm going to Hawaii. I need someone to go with me. We have no money. Are you in? And she wanted me to stay at some random dude's house on couchsurfers.com. I don't even know if that website's legal or even around anymore. I don't think it should be. And I was cuckoo and I was like, you know what? We're going to Hawaii. And it ended up being the best time of my life. And so I encourage people in the book to say yes with wisdom. Mm-hmm. Say yes. Because with wisdom, because you don't know what's going to happen from that yes. Say yes to the road trip. Say yes to the spontaneous trip, the whatever it is. Like maybe your friend's like, hey, let's go to the Grand Canyon. Let's go skiing in Lake Tahoe. You're like, you know what? If I can swing it, I can swing it. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And you don't know the people you're going to meet. Maybe your future spouse you're going to meet, a job that's going to happen. Maybe you discover that you want to move there. Maybe you're like, wow, this is really where I want to go to college or something. And so there's so much that could happen with your yes. If you walk obediently and with wisdom, of course, I'm not encouraging anyone be foolish.
Reckless.
Yeah, don't be reckless. But I just think, man, something is so powerful that happens when you just become curious, adventurous, and you say yes, and you just watch what God does with it.
So cool. You mentioned a story I wanted to ask you about being in Portugal, and you were at a surf hostel type of a resort? What was that called? Do you remember what it was
called?
Oh,
yes. I worked with this company about 6 times. It's called La Pointe. And they have about 9 camps around the world. I mean, the coolest, the best food, the best people from literally all over the world. And even that, it's like, say yes, and you get to meet people from all over the world, different languages. I mean, it was like the coolest experience.
I love that. I'll link to that because people listening know my 20-year-old son is a professional surfer.
Wow.
But a few years back, we got to go stay at a La Pointe in Portugal. So I was there at Ericeira, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we got to stay there. It was a Quicksilver thing that my son was doing and it was an absolute blast. But I agree with you. There were so many people from so many countries and I loved your story of looking for opportunities there to share your faith and everyone reading that. It's such a great example of how our kids can recognize that, you know, it is scary, but when you are in these situations where you're meeting people, how God can use that to open up doors, conversations, plant some seeds. That was such a great story, but I loved LaPointe. And I was like, okay, there are other LaPointes in so many cool places. I want to go back and do more.
Yeah, you got to go to the Bali one next. That one is my favorite. It's beautiful there.
I bet. My son has spent a lot of time in Indonesia for surfing, but I don't think he's been to the LaPointe. Isn't there one in Scandinavia as well?
It's in Norway, but the water is so cold.
Freezing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's really cold, but it could be fun. Yeah.
I thought Portugal was freezing, but we're from Hawaii.
Oh,
so
I hated it.
California
was
cold.
I surf as well. And I mean, I lived in California and I just was so over the wetsuits. And so Hawaii was actually the first place I ever surfed. And it was like, oh my gosh, dream.
That'll spoil you.
Yes, it does. I'm like, how can I go back?
Yeah. Yeah. As we're recording, my son is in Fiji. We just FaceTimed and he's like, I have a new favorite place.
Wow. I mean, I bet he's really good then if he's in Fiji surfing.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's living the dream for sure. But I love the topic of adventure and you cover that as well as everything else so well. There are a lot more topics we could cover, but you have a podcast where you cover all of these. You have a book that we're going to link to. Why don't you just tell people where they can find and follow you? And maybe actually before we wrap up, can I ask you on the spot? For those listening who have maybe a teenager, maybe middle schooler, maybe young adult, and they want to share just, you know, one clip with their daughter, can you just speak a little wisdom, encouragement to the young ladies listening?
Okay, young ladies, listen up. So my name's Janine, and I did everything wrong and backwards. I tried what the world told me to do. I tried to find validation in boys and money and followers and my clothing and my appearance, and I was the most insecure girl you would have ever imagined. And on the outside looking in, you would have thought I had it all together. And I was such a mess. And so my encouragement to any girl listening today is when you fall in love with Jesus, your life will change. You won't go looking for other places to bring you joy and satisfaction in life. Trust me, you may not be able to hear this yet or comprehend it yet or believe it yet, but one day you'll look back and you'll be like, okay, my mom was right or Janine was right. When you start to taste and see that the world is empty and it's fleeting. And so if I can encourage anything to you is ask God to show himself to you. Fall in love with Jesus. Find your confidence in the Lord, your worth in the Lord. It's not in the world. It's not in your outfit. It's not in what this boy thinks of you. It's in the Lord and period. Like truly, it's in the Lord, period. And I promise you, your life will go so much better and so much more well for you when you follow God's ways. His ways are not to rip you off. He's not here to prevent you from having fun. He's here to protect you and give you life because he loves you so much. The way that your mom loves you, the way that she says, hey, let's not do that. Hey, that's not good for you, is what God does for us 10 times full because he loves you even more than you can comprehend. And so that's my advice to you is trust in Jesus, follow him, and your life will be so much more rich and full.
Everything else falls into place. I couldn't give a bigger amen. That's such a good word. So I'm sure somebody out there is going to take it and run with it and lives will be changed.
I hope
because
so.
You're sharing. Well, Janine, thank you so, so much. Where's your favorite place to hang out if somebody wants to come and follow you? Because you're all over the place.
I am.
Favorite place?
Instagram. Instagram is my favorite.
There we go.
I'm the most consistent on there. I post daily on there. Podcast is only once a week. It's called Happy and Healthy. But my Instagram is Janine Mopola, and I post everything on there, faith, fashion, lifestyle. And I post daily on my story. So come hang out with me on there.
There we go. Awesome. Well, God bless you. Keep up the great work. All of us moms out there are like cheering for you and praying for you. So thank you so much for taking time to hang out with us.
Thank you, Monica. This was a great episode and I really pray it blesses your listeners.
Thanks. All right, friends. I hope you enjoyed that conversation and you'll find links to Janine, all the places you can follow her over in show notes, which can be found at monicaswanson.com/Janine. And that's Janine-Mopola. And that's Mopola. Again, you can find all show notes at monicaswanson.com/podcast. All right. Again, we got a whole lot more in this area of women's wellness coming up the next few weeks. So please do spread the word. Stay in touch. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.